Recording in progress.
So we left off the previous year, the famous Kasha of the Nedev Yehuda. Comes in the Rebbe and says, you put together everything we said in the last year, it comes out that what every Jewish home does, the Shalakah did, that the man davens Meir, the woman doesn't daven Meir necessarily, the man is chayv in Kiddush only midrabbanan, the woman is chayv in Kiddush midaraisa, and how in the world can a derabbanan be mitzvah deraisa? That's the premise of the Rebbe Yehuda's Kasha. So again, if any of the assumptions of that premise fall by the wayside, then obviously the question doesn't have to be dealt with. So if you hold that the man is not chayv in Kiddush deraisa, observe the woman is not yet Kiddush deraisa, because of the Yetzias Mitzrayim issue, because of the Kavan issue that we spoke about the previous year, then obviously the question is not an issue. But the Rebbe was working with the assumption, like the Magen Avraham, that Taka the man was Yotze, the woman was not Yotze, so what do you do? So the Rebbe himself references a rush in Maseches Brachos to assist in his formulation of the question, and it's actually going back to that Sugya Brachos, with the Rush in Brachos, that may actually be the answer to the Rebbe's tema. So the Rosh Maseches Brachos is dealing with a question that actually all the Bishayim deal with, but seems to be a steer into Gemara's Maseches Brachos. That the Gemara in the third parak Maseches Brachos, the Chaf of Beis, has a possibility that women are not chayovos in benching in the Torah. The fact that women have to bench is a given, that's a Mishnah, but it's not clear whether the obligation of a woman is a deraisa or a derabbanan. Why should it be derabbanan? See, I've done some books about it to figure out what possibly should knock me down to a derabbanan. But there's one possibility in the Gemara that women are only chayavos in benching amid the rabbanon. So the Gemara says, "My nafkamina, they have to bench anyway. Nafkamina, the rice of the rabbanon." Which is not chapsin nafkamina, whether a woman can be mitzi a man. So if you hold that the chiv is the rice, and then asid the rice, mitzi the rice, you hold it's only chiv the rabbanon, then the rabbanon can be mitzi the rice, because the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah you have to be mechuya bedavar. So when you deal with the mitzi the rice, you have to define mechuya bedavar as being mechuya bedavar of the rice. The fact that you're mechuya bedavar the rabbanon, what's that can help for the rice? So the Gemara says that's the nafkamina. So if a woman's chiyuv is deraisa, so zayin she can be mitzi a man. If it's only derabbanan, then she can't be mitzi a man. That's the first shekmar brachas davchav. So there is a Gemara in the seventh parak of Maseches Brachos. So the Gemara says, seems to say that if somebody eats a kezayis, a bread, they could bench to be mitzi a chayim dechavosam. And the simple reading of the Gemara is that even though all the other achayim ate kedei sviyin, everybody ate a big meal, so it doesn't seem to make much of a difference. The simple pshat most of the rishonim is that once you have to bench, being a kazai, you can be moti somebody else who make a day sevilla. So the Rishama and the Spot are very, very bothered with that, because the simple reading of the Gemara Brachos is that the chiyuv deraisa benching is only after kedei sevilla. So that's the case. If Reuven ate a kazayis and Shimon ate kedei sevilla, so the same problem. How could a derabban be moti deraisa? The same way the Gemara says that if a woman is only chayavas and benching with derabbanan, she can't be motzi someone who's. I'm sorry, if a woman's only chayavas and benching with derabbanan, she can't be motzi someone who's chayav in a Torah. Why is the person waiting kizayas able to be motzi the one waiting day sviya? That's a famous famous kasha that we showed. So the Ramban was so bothered with this kasha. The Ramban says that our premise is wrong, that kizayas is deraisa. That cloud, the nikkei sviya, is all a mistake. It's not true. It never was. It's a medrash. It's not mikradin. The mikradin that you chayav to bench with deraisa the kizayas. But most of the Rishonim didn't say that the Ramban. So what's the answer? What's the conventional answer to that kasha? So the conventional answer to that kasha is what's presented by Tosfos and by the Rosh in Maseches Brachos of the following nusach. So Tosfos and the Rosh explained that there's a din. Tosfos and the Rosh. Both by Tosfos and Rosh, but also says there's a Tosfos and the Rosh that says the following terrors. That there's a principle called Afa B'Shiyatzu Moitzi. Means when you have a mitzvah that I was chayav in, even though I was yotzi already, I'm still called the mechuyav b'davar. Say, Lamashal, I read the Megillah already, so I can't read the Megillah for somebody else. That's a joke. I already made this bracha. I already said how I can't be mechuyav to somebody else. That's not true. Versus Meferish, af apisha yotzi moitzi. That's still called the mechuyav b'davar. Why is it called mechuyav b'davar? So Rashi explains, because based on the principle of arvus, I'm responsible to make sure the other Jews fulfill their obligations. So Kol Zman, there's another Jew out there who hasn't heard the Megillah, I'm still called a Mechuy B'davar. Ein Mechuy B'davar means I was never chayv in the mitzvah. This mitzvah doesn't speak to me. I'm a katan, I'm an ish, whatever the case may be. That's called Ein Mechuy B'davar. But if I'm Mechuy in the mitzvah, I just happen to fulfill my obligation, I'm still called Mechuy B'davar. That's based on the principle of Afish Yatzimotzi, which is derived ultimately from the parish of Arvas. That's what the Gemara says in Rosh Hashanah and Daf Chav Tes. So come tell you the Russians say, La'olam, I could be motzi you in benching even if I didn't eat anything. Even if I didn't wash it all. I didn't even have a kazayas, I could be motzi you in benching. Why? Because benching is like a birchas mitzvah. Benching is something that afa b'shiyatza motzi. Benching is a sugya v'arvos. So therefore, I don't even have to eat a kazayas. So why does the Gemara say you have to eat a kazayas? That's for technical reason, because I can't say shechal m'shalom, it's a sheker, it doesn't look right, if I didn't eat anything. But mi'ikra adim midaraisa, even if I ate nothing, I could be motzi you. So that's what the Gemara means in Brachas in the seventh parak, because the emphasis is you don't even need a kazayas. The whole kazayas is a chumah midrabanan, because otherwise it looks like a sheker to say shechal mishalom. But the ikaron, in terms of the pure dinim derais of being mighty people, even without eating anything, I can. Masha'inke, the Gemara in Brachas says that if a woman is only chayevas midrabanan brachas amazon, that means midaraisa, she's an eidim chuyavas midaraisa. She's a nothing, she's a zero. And therefore, she can't be motzi the man at a level of deraisa. That's the teretz that Tosfos says. And the Rosh calls the same teretz and adds a line. The Rosh says that bishlama for the kazayas to be motzi, the kedei achila, kedei sviya, that's the klal of apishetza motzi, and that's the klal of arvos. Masha'im came for the woman to be motzi the man in Birchas Hamazon. You can't say arvos. Why? Because there's no arvos for the women. The Rosh added on that phrase. There's no arvos for the woman. What does that line mean? So comes in Edud and says, what that line means is as follows, is that the principle of afa pishiyotze moitzi applies between two men, it doesn't apply for women. Because that chiddush atar of Kaisal Arabi Zelazeh, that chiddush of arvos, that was this chadish for men, it wasn't this chadish for women. And therefore, the Edud says, any and any time you want to fall back on the principle of afa pishiyotze moitzi, you got to make sure you're a man, not a woman. So says the Rebbe Yehuda, that's pshat of my kasha. That's why my kasha is so, it's such a powerful kasha. You want to tell me. We'll see in a second. So comes the Rebbe Yehuda and says, now you understand, now that I just gave a shikul Torah, I quoted you a rush of the Sefer Brachas, now you know why I'm so disturbed with the practice that Klai Yisrael does. A man comes home from shul, he already davened Ma'ariv. So he was already yetzi kiddush. On the level of their eyes, he's already long gone. His wife hasn't davened yet, he wants to be motzi har. How can he do that? He's the name of Chubidava. What's our immediate answer? What do you mean? Alpha Bishu Yatza. What's the problem? So says the Nebu Yatza, what the problem is. Alpha Bishu Yatza Motzi only applies to men, doesn't apply to women. That's my kasha. Based on that rush, says the Nebu Yehuda, unless you want to argue that all the rush meant was that women don't have arvos for men, maybe men do have arvos for women. Tzorchi, and he's not sure whether that's true or not. But because the Rosh said there's no arvos for women, that's the source of my kasha, and the Rebbe leaves a hanging tzachi in gadol. So comes Rebbe Kidega on the spot, and he says, I don't understand b'chal the kasha in the Midah. It chilu yatzayif. Says Rebbe Kidega, what the Rosh meant was as follows: there's no arvos for women in mitzvahs that they're not chayavos in. That's what the Rosh meant. That a woman, alatzad, that she's only chayevas in benching mid the Rabbanon, so she's not chayevas in benching. In Atayrish, she's in Enim Chubidav, Elagamri. Arvus means, if I had a mitzvah, I was chayev in the mitzvah, and I fulfilled my obligation, Arvus kicks in. But if I never had the mitzvah in the first place, so what's for Arvus? So that's what the Rosh meant when he said, there's no Arvus. Well, he didn't mean there's no Arvus for women. He meant, there's no Arvus for women on mitzvahs that they're not chayevas in. But mitzvahs that they are chayevas in, like Mechateis. Yeah, like so Mehekate says the one of us. So therefore, says Rabbi Kibegar, Lamaisa women are chayavs in Kiddush. Minatara. Lamaisa men are chayavs in Kiddush midaraisa. So Afabishiyatze Moitzi, there is no such cloud that Afabishiyatze Moitzi doesn't apply to women. Hoyed Bami Island, and they knew that, didn't say the correct Pshat in the Rosh, argues Rabbi Kibegar. So the Pasha Pshat is, if you go back to Rishonim, hardly Mechorev to Rabbi Kibegar, and then Rabbi Yehuda, if you look at the Rishonim, the Pasha is like Rabbi Kibegar. That the entire building, the entire edifice, Hakol Mikol Kol, called Ein Arvos the Noshim that Nebuda made up, and to ask his Bam Kasha, there is no such klal. That klal was only said vis-a-vis mitzvahs that women are pturas from Minat Torah. But if a woman is chayevus Minat Torah, she's chayevus, he's chayev, he was yotzi, he wasn't yotzi, she was yotzi. After she yotzi, he carries the day Minat Torah, and men can make kiddush for their wives. So, Lefini is Daiti, those who want to rely on the Minigra Olam and rely on Rebbe Kibega straight out, this is the push up shot. Look at all the Rishonim, the Mishnah, the Brachos, it seems very clear. Lefini is Daiti, Rukivegas Pshat is the correct Pshat, and therefore there's no Kash in the first place. So I think we have a lot of limits chosim for the Bnei Goyim, that men can make Kiddush for their wives, even though he daven Ma'ariv, she didn't daven Ma'ariv. First of all, we're not even sure if daven Ma'ariv does anything. We have last year's Tainus. There's no Kavadas, no Yitzias Mitzrayim. We have a lot of reasons to believe that the man wasn't even Yotze Kiddush. Even in Dibta Leimer, in the wildest dream, that the man was Yotze Kiddush, Lefianis died, the whole thing is Lahoyos Bamiyom. The whole Kasha was Kusha Mikar Leisa, because Rabbi Kivega's reading of the Rosh seems to be the more correct reading. Yes, that's Kasha. Yeah. Yeah.
Can it work in the other way around? Can the wife be Mitzi the man in Kiddush? Like, does it work the other way?
So again, it depends what perception you're going on. So if nobody was Yotzi anything deraisa, yeah. So then the answer is absolutely yes, that a woman can be Mitzi Ben Kiddush. Should we do that as a normal protocol? The answer is absolutely not. That we have serious reservations in terms of inyani tinias and inyani, you know, agendas and other kinds of things that are above and beyond the scope of that discussion right now. So under no circumstances should we have as a common practice being that women make kiddush on behalf of their husbands. However, let's say the husband's sick, they have unique situations, a more extenuating circumstances, then the answer is yes, absolutely. So you're asking, what if the woman daven ma'ariv, the man didn't daven ma'ariv? So according to Rabbi Kivega, none of that matters. The whole thing is lahoyos bamiyom. The whole issue is irrelevant.
Is that din related to Kiddush, something just like a klal for brachot, or like is it only Kiddush and like hamotzi zokah is?
No, so none of these things. That any time you have a situation where a woman wants to be motzi a man in mitzvahs, so unfortunately we have to ask ourselves the following question, that there are many, many things that technically speaking are permissible, api alocha, that could work. That once they become part of a global agenda, which is beyond the scope of that discussion right now, so then we have to fall back on the fact that Chazal speak about lahotzi b'libim shel tzdukim, that when there are certain hashkafas, there are certain philosophies that are being espoused that are part of an anti-Torah movement, so one has to be b'chol tokef against those kinds of processes. That's nothing to do with asugya. That's nothing to do with being yotze mitzi and any of that stuff. In terms of the pure halacha, if you lived back in Prague and back in Poland in the 1700s, there was no anti-Torah hashkafa at the point. It was just a pure question of yotze mitzi, that kind of stuff. So the answer would be that mikra didn't really work. We don't do it for tzedius reasons, but unfortunately, we live in America in 2022, so we have other factors to take into consideration. And I think that's enough said about that people would not. Yeah.
So we can do it with appropriate kavana, though. Why would that still be an issue?
What do you mean appropriate kavana?
Appropriate kavana to not have anything to do with agenda.
Because that's a general question about agendas, that unfortunately, once something becomes part of an agenda, so it takes on a life in and of itself. So,
Has it worked
halachically? It works very much halachically, hashkafically. After 12 o'clock, we're happy to talk about that. Okay.
For the first, the Gemara in the seventh parak in Brachos, why does it he could have been motzi his friend if he didn't eat at all?
Because he's not fishy yotze motzi.
Even if he's not chayiv,
he was chayiv to bench yesterday, so he's a bar chiyuv in benching. After fishy yotze motzi means that even though I'm not a bar chiyuv this second, but I am a bar chiyuv. That's okay. Okay, back to that story. So at least we know a little bit about in terms of the mitzvah kiddush, in terms of the mitzvah kiddush deraisa, how this plays out in terms of kiddush bedvarim, kiddush alakos, and all of the above. So let's begin to tackle another question about the mitzvah kiddush. Again, we're dealing primarily with the mitzvah deraisa of zochus shabbos kacho. Let's discuss what is the timing of that mitzvah. When is one supposed to fulfill that mitzvah? So if you had asked me, I would have said, well, it's got to be Shabbos first. If it ain't Shabbos, I can't say Kiddush on Tuesday. So obviously it has to be Shabbos. That's what I would have said. So comes the Gemara Maseches Brachos in the fourth paragraph. It says, Faker, it says it's not true, that one can fulfill the mitzvah of Kiddush, presumably midaraisa, even before it's technically Shabbos. So the Gemara raises the question that if a person davens Ma'ariv early, be yod yom. So the halacha is that a person can daven Ma'ariv, technically speaking, after Plag HaMincha. That's the sort of beginning of the fourth paragraph of Maseches Brachos. So the Gemara says, "Pal Adam shall have Shabbos, shall Shabbos have Shabbos." So the Gemara says, "That's okay." The Oymek Kedusha Lakos. The Gemara is a Sofia. The Gemara is Paisha. You can make Kiddush Lakos. So the Rishon Mabadu, based on what? How can I make Kiddush Lakos? Based on what mechanism can I make Kiddush Lakos if it's not Shabbos yet? So the simple Pshat in the Gemara is that this is related to the sugya of Tosefta Shabbos. Once a person is Mekabel Shabbos, so there's a mitzvah in that Torah, according to many opinions, to be Mekabel Shabbos early. We'll talk a lot about that mitzvah hopefully a little later on in the next couple of weeks. But if you follow the lines that there's a mitzvah of Tosefta Shabbos, that's the Gemara Maseches Rosh Hashanah Daf Teh seems to say, There's a mitzvah deraisa to makabel Shabbos early. So once you makabel Shabbos early, it's Shabbos, the chol dinei Torah. So it's true if you do malach, you're not chayav skila for that, that's true. But basically, l'gabi all of the rest of the Shabbos, it's Shabbos to chol davar. So therefore, it's Shabbos to gabi kiddush, and Shabbos to gabi sudan, and Shabbos to gabi oneg and kovah, whatever other dinim that apply to Shabbos. So that's the din. It's considered to be Shabbos to chol davar. So if that's the pshat, then they come on, that makes a lot of sense. It could be yetzi kiddush because it's considered to be Shabbos to chol dinei Torah. The problem is that there are many, many rishonim who say that that's not true. That there are some Rishonim who claim that the mitzvah for Sefer Shabbos, the idea of Mekabel Shabbos early, is only a concept of the Rabbanan. The Rambam Shita seems to be it doesn't exist at all, not in the Torah, not even in the Rabbanan. So how do you explain the way Pshat? What is going on in this sugya? What the Gemara says, you could be Yetzi, Kiddush, Rabbi Yod Yom. If Lamais, it's not really Shabbos yet. On the level of the rites, it's not considered to be Shabbos. So the Rambam tackles this. The Rambam in Shabbos writes that the mitzvah of Zochus of Shabbos Akadshah means Zachreya Bechnisa. So, Bein b'tchilaso, bein kermitz k'nisaso k'tzas. The Rambam writes that you can be yed to the mitzvah of Kiddush even before it's quite Shabbos. Why? So the Rambam seems to be highlighting the fact that the mitzvahs present us as zochas yom Shabbos k'tzas. So the mitzvah is zechiraso b'chnisaso. So k'nisas haShabbos is the b'chayim of Kiddush. According to the Rambam, it's not the yom haShabbos, the b'chayim of Kiddush. It's the k'nisas haShabbos that's the b'chayim of Kiddush. What's when Kriyas Shabbos? Kriyas Shabbos means, oh, when it already started, or as it's about to start. So even though according to the Ram, it's Mamish Friday is the Rul Chodover. There's no Issa Malacha D'Araisa, and there's no Mitzvah Sayyam Midantar, there's nothing Minatar, nothing Midrabbanan. You can still make Kiddush because the Mechayiv of Kiddush Minatar is Kriyas Shabbos. That's the way the Rambam presents the story. So what the Rambam writes in the Shabbos, that there's a Rosh, and the fourth Berach of Bracha seems to say in a little bit of a different Nusach. Rosh writes, why is it you can make Kiddush early? It says Rosh writes, because the Pasuk doesn't say Zohar B'yayim HaShabbos, it says Zohar Esyayim HaShabbos. So S means it doesn't have to be Shabbos itself. It's not Chabayim HaRishon, it doesn't have to be B'yayim HaShabbos. As long as it's Esyayim HaShabbos, that's also good enough. You can't make Kiddush on Tuesday afternoon, that's too far away. It's got to be Chrisas HaKtzach, it has to be Samoch L'Shabbos. But it need not be Shabbos itself. So what the Rambam seems to be deriving from the phrase Zechir B'chnisosoy, that the Rosh is deriving from the phrase Es Yom HaShabbos, it can't just be Yom HaShabbos. They're both coming to the same conclusion that it's not absolutely critical for Kiddush to take place on Shabbos proper, and that's a Din Min HaTorah.
How far do you extend that? Because at that point, you can even say before you even accept Shabbos, you could be Yotzei Zechir
HaShabbos. So this is the, according to the Rambam, there really is no idea of Kabbalah Shabbos. It doesn't really mean anything, but as long as it's close to Shabbos, that's good enough. How close is close? So in Shulchan Aruch, we assume close to close means the Plag HaMincha. Before Plag HaMincha, that's already too far away. Where that Shia Deraisa came from is not 100% clear, but that's what the Shulchan Aruch was. Yeah, that's what we assume Halacha, that the Shia is Plag HaMincha.
And the Rambam didn't hold of this at all.
The Rambam doesn't hold of the Sefer Shabbos. The Rambam says there's no mitzvah to be Meisvach Ala Kodesh. You're not Mechuyiv to refrain from doing Malach. Other Rishonim, according to the Rambam, it's not even clear that's Tofes Min HaTorah. If a person says, I'm a Kabbal Shabbos, I'm not going to do Malacha. So the Gemara in Bracha says, you're not allowed to do Malacha at that point. There could be that Sabsav Chumam Mid Rabban or something. But the idea of Tosefer Shabbos, that there's a Chi of HaTorah to be Mesef Bichol HaChodesh, the Rambam doesn't seem to accept. The Rambam never quotes it.
So therefore he holds that in this unique...
it's a Din Kiddush, right. Right, it's a Din, you can be Yaitse Kiddush, even though it's not Shabbos.
What's different about Kiddush and the rest of the
so that's what the Rambam seems to say, because Kiddush is derived from Zohar, as Yom HaShabbos, as Zohar B'chnisoso. The whole nature of the mitzvah of Kiddush is Knisa Shabbos. So it's called Knisa Shabbos, not being called Shabbos proper. That's how the Rambam presents it. The Tzeis HaRosh has a little bit of a different twist. He says Zohar S and Katas Tabe. So they both seem to be saying the same, coming to the same group. So you have two extremes in Rishonim, whether how do you understand the mitzvah of Kiddush in light of the mitzvah of Tosefes. So if you accept that there's a concept of Tosefes Shabbos Ben HaTorah, that's what the Ramban writes, that the Shulchan Aruch holds such a Yeshayim, there's a real bona fide mitzvah that arises to be Maisi B'chol HaKodesh, so I understand why you can make Kiddush Ben HaTorah, because it's Mamash Shabbos, the whole Din HaTorah. According to the other extreme, it's not Shabbos at all, it's Friday afternoon, you could still be Yetzi Kiddush. Yeah. I think you're on mute.
Yeah, sorry. Okay. Even if you, I just have a hard time understanding how the Rambam says that you can make Havdalah while it's still Shabbos. Meaning, if you make Kiddush before Shabbos, okay, but to take away from Shabbos and do Havdalah.
So forget, the Rambam is actually easier to understand. Because the Rambam says that Knesset HaShabbos is the Mechayev of Kiddush, and Yetzias HaShabbos is the Mechayev of Havdalah. So the Rambam says that Yetzias HaShabbos also doesn't have to be exactly on Shabbos itself. It's the Zman of Yetzias HaShabbos. Yetzias HaShabbos means either right after Shabbos ends or right before it ends. Right before. Who's doing any Yisuri? No one's doing any Melacha. Eish is upset. Nobody's lighting candles. Even the Gemara says you can make Abdullah, maybe Yog Yom. Nobody says you can light the candle. That's for sure not. You can make Abdullah without the Eish. Who says you need an Eish? You can make Abdullah without an Eish. You make a Bar Eish after Shabbos is over. A Bar Eish is not part of Abdullah proper. Okay? So when the Gemara says you can make Abdullah, maybe Yog Yom, that means you can make Bar Pekof.
So does this mean that according to Rambam, it's possible to make Kiddush and still do Malacha and to do Abdullah and not be allowed to do Malacha right after?
Yeah, that's right.
That's very strange.
That's right. On the level of their eyes, so that's for sure the din according to the Rambam, right? Parshat Pshat, that's the din according to the Rambam. So these two extremes in Rishonim, that either Tosefta Shabbos is a deraisa or it doesn't exist, there is a middle ground, and the middle ground is quoted in the Mordechai, in the second Berakhah Masechet Megillah, where the Mordechai says that it could be there's a mitzvah Tosefes, but the mitzvah Tosefes is a mitzvah of the Rabbanon. That's what he's assuming. He quotes this from Rabbeinu Tuvia. So this Rabbeinu Tuvia came from the city of Vienna, Dr. Kratz, from your hometown. Rabbeinu Tuvia came from Vienna. So the Mordechai quotes from Rabbeinu Tuvia from Vienna, who had this middle shita, that Tosefta Shabbos exists, albeit mid Rabban. So then the Mordechai quotes from Rabbeinu Tuvia, who asked the following kasha, wait a second, if Tosefta Shabbos is only mid Rabbanan, so then how can it be Yotze Kiddush and it's man that's only Shabbos mid Rabbanan? Rabbeinu Tuvia didn't hold like the Rambam in the Tosefta Rosh, it could be Yotze before Shabbos. Rabbeinu Tuvia is assuming you need Shabbos, it's got to be Shabbos. So he asked the funny kasha, he says, how can it be Yotze Kiddush? Maybe Od Yom, if the Plata Mincha, if it's only technically binding a Shabbos mid the Rabbanan. So we asked the Kasha, the Gemara in Brachas that we left off with 20 minutes ago. So the Gemara says in Brachas that if Brachas HaMazon for women is only the Rabbanan, so the Rabbanan can't be Motzi a Deraisa. So it says a bit of Tuvia, the same way that a Gavra the Rabbanan can't be Motzi a Gavra Deraisa, so to a Zman the Rabbanan should not suffice to be Yotze a Mitzvah mid the Deraisa. It's the same kind of an idea. That in order to be Yotze Mitzvah Deraisa, they have to be done b'chiyuvam. So b'chiyuvam is defined both as the Gavra who's doing it on your behalf, as well as the Zman. So Esra Ben Etuvia, the same way the Gemara Bracha says that a Gavra Derabanan can be Motzi a Gavra Deraisa, so too a Zman Derabanan shouldn't suffice for Zman Deraisa. It's the exact same kasha, Ben Etuvia says. So Ben Etuvia says no. Ben Etuvia says that this is different. Why? Because this is a Zman Derabanan which is leading to a Zman Deraisa. Eventually you can reach a point of Deraisa. Ben Etuvia has a psa nuvot, a new chiddush in the klal of a mechui b'davar, that it's labeled as a mechui b'davar if you chayev midrabanan, that's coming magil idechi of deraisa. But madam, I'm remembering the Gemara says in brachas that a derabanan can be mitzvah deraisa. That's when you have a woman to be mitzvah man, because the woman is only chayevus midrabanan. She's never going to become chayevus deraisa. Mashenkin over here, the zman right now is derabanan, but in an hour from now it's going to become zman deraisa. So it's a very very strange cholent of things. That somehow on the level of deraisa, that's called mechui b'davar. You have those two factors together. You have a chiyuv derabanan combined together with a asle de chiyuv deraisa. That's enough to be called mechui b'davar. And he says that that's true legabe gavras as well. So in that same piece, Rabbeinu Tuvia explains that's why I think it's okay for a blind person to be built to his wife in kiddush. There's a machlokes hatanoim whether a suma is chayv mitzvahs b'deraisa or only chayv mitzvahs b'derabanan. So Rubin the Rishon and Paskin is chayv b'deraisa. That's how we paskin halacha. But Rabbeinu Tuvia was working with the assumption that he's only chayv b'derabanan. So frekta Rabbeinu Tuvia, how could the blind person be built to his wife in kiddush if he's only chayv b'derabanan? Why isn't that a violation of Ein Derabanan Motzi Deraisa? Rabbeinu Tuvia says, no, it's okay. You know why? Because he's Chayav Derabanan, and he may become Chayav Deraisa. If he has a miracle happen, he'll get his sight back. So he'll get his sight back, he'll become Chayav Deraisa. Rabbeinu Tuvia holds that in order to be called Osir Dechiv Deraisa, it doesn't even necessitate that for sure it's going to happen. As long as there's the possibility, there's Echa Timtza, one in a million chances he's going to get his sight back, so that's enough to declare him to be Chayav on a level of Deraisa. Masha Ein Kein, the Isha is never going to become the man, and therefore she's never going to become Chayavus in Mitzvahs B'Deraisa. So that's why the Gemara says that there are Bani Kibi Motzi Deraisa. I once somebody called me, a couple of months ago, somebody called me that they told me they were in Vienna for Shabbos. I don't know where, but they called you that. I don't know where it was. They called me that they were in Vienna for Shabbos, and they were making early Shabbos in the shul, and they were hakamei tzaddik about the Shabbos and making Shabbos early. Making it. So I said to them, "You hit the jackpot." I said, "Cool, call the rabbi, Ben Rutubia. He was the rabbi. He was the Baal Teis, lived in Vienna. He passed it. It's okay." So don't ask many questions. The guy was so excited about Ben Rutubia passed the shiloh. I said, "Where's Ben Rutubia? How do I reach him?" I said, "He died 800 years ago." He said, "You got to find him in the Mordechai. You can't text him today."
Is he anywhere else?
Is that available? What?
Is he quoted anywhere else?
About other topics?
And do we know anything about it?
Rabbeinu Tuvia, I'm trying to remember.
Is he one of the Baalei Tosfos?
Like, he's from the period of the Baalei Tosfos, for sure. The Mordechai quotes him. I think he was related to Rabbeinu Avigdor of Vienna. If I'm not mistaken, he had some shacks with Rabbeinu Avigdor, but I could have made that up. I'm not sure. So I have to double check. I have to read the book. There's a book that was written by Professor Orbach about Baalei Tosfos. Anyone ever saw it?
Yeah.
It's a book about 800 pages long. Anything you ever want to know, what Rabbeinu Tam made for breakfast, anything you want to know about the Baalei Tosfos. So how do I know about this? The book is off the record, but we'll tell them anyway. Now, when I was in NYU, so I was graduated with a major in Judaic Studies. But I was one course short. I had to finish Pejun because I was going off to Eretz Yisrael afterwards, and I was missing one course, and there was no course available for me to take. So I went to Rabbi Rodenzweig, Arab Rodenzweig's father, Rabbi Shalom, Rabbi Rodenzweig. At the time, he was like the big big Jewish history professor. So he knew me. I'd taken many classes with him. So Rabbi Rodenzweig, I'm always stuck in the pickle. I need another course. So he set up for me an independent study course in Jewish history. I got 3 credits. He used to meet with him every week in his office for a little while. We discussed the different readings and different things, different papers how to do. So one of the things he wanted me to do was he made up a course in some unique Baalei Tosfos period or something. He wanted me to read the book about by Professor Orbach. So it was an 800-page book. So I don't want to disqualify delegitimize my graduation. I'm afraid I can't say I read every word of the book. I said I read enough to be able to converse with Rabbi Rosenzweig intelligently about the topic, but I skimmed a little bit. I don't know if he read the whole book either. It was a very, very, very long book. But somewhere in there, it probably has something about who Rabbeinu Tuvia was, I imagine.
What would you say about
Oh, that's the Magen Avraham's kasha. So the Magen Avraham asked the kasha, says Rabbeinu Tuvia is wrong. Says, you know why he's wrong? Says the Magen Avraham, because Imkain, why can't a cotton be Metzia Gavul? Because a cotton is chayiv in mitzvahs with the Rabbanan and Mishpachinuch, and he's Asa Dechiv de Raisa. Why can't he be Metzia Gavul? So says the Magen Avraham, Zatman from that day, from the mission of Rosh Hashanah, a cotton can be Metzia Gavul, Rabbeinu Tuvia is wrong. That's the So I think the answer is very possible, huh? Oh, so I thought, Lachar, the answer is that the cotton. It's not really chayiv with the rabbanon. According to Rabbeinu Tuvia, you need 2 factors. You need chayiv the rabbanon with the potential for deraisa. A katan, according to the Ramban, the famous Ramban of the Mulchamas, the same Mulchamas that we mentioned before, brothers, the Ramban holds that tana b'nachayev mitzvah bechlal, not min atar, not min rabbanon. The chiyuv chinuch is a chiyuv that's mutal on the father, but it's not on the katan proper. So for about 20 years or so, I was convinced that the only way out of this problem is to say Rabbeinu Tuvia holds like the Ramban. If Rabbeinu Tuvia holds like other Rishonim, like Tosfos, that a katan is chayiv the Rabbanan, then the kasha of the Magen Avraham is insurmountable. So that was munachli berosh for a good 20 years, that Rabbeinu Tuvia must be a Ramban person. There's no other way to reach out in the Rabbeinu Tuvia.
And
Let's just make sure we don't get lost. We're drowning in these Rishonim over here. So we have a Rabbeinu Tuvia who has the following kasha about the Sefer Shabbos. We'll learn just to give the Sefer Shabbos right now. Well, so Rabbeinu Tuvia said, how can you make Kiddush B'zata Sefer Shabbos? The Gemara says it works. So the Rabbeinu Tuvia came with like a razzle-dazzle shtickle tongue with a cholent, that if you have 2 factors working for you, you're mechumim derbanan and you're going to become mechumim deraisa, some of that works. How that works, B'na Torah, I have the foggiest notion, but as I state, that's what they say in Vienna. That's as I state in Rabbeinu Tuvia, that mixture of factors works. So then Rabbeinu Tuvia said, and that explains why Suma can make Kiddush with his wife also. Good. So comes the Magen Avraham and says, Rabbeinu Tuvia is not right. He cannot be right. Because it's against the Mishnah. The Mishnah says a katan can't be Metzia Gavul. There's the Mishnah by Shofar, the Mishnah by Megill. A katan can't be Metzia Gavul. End of discussion. If Rabbeinu Tuvia is right, so then why can a katan be Metzia Gavul? He has both of those factors in his pocket. He's chayev al chinuch midirabbanan, and he's going to become chayev midaraisa at a later point. So that's the refutation, the proof positive, Raish El Hatshuva against Rabbeinu Tuvia. So for years, I always assumed, it's not such a kasha. Forever the Mugan of kasha, very simple. Just stick the Rebbeinu Tovia into the Ramban's camp. If you hold like the Ramban and Mulchamas and Brachis, that a Kotter is not a Mechui, but the Ramban, and then the kasha is the Shin kasha. So for years and years and years, I thought that was the Pshat of Rebbeinu Tovia, and that's why I never understood the Minchas Chinuch. Minchas Chinuch, in the midst of Sfiras HaOmer, when he discusses the famous kasha about when a kid turns bar mitzvah in the middle of Svira, can he continue to count or not? Does the Svira that he did when he counted earlier, does that count, literally? Does the counting count or not? So the Mechas Chinuch writes, he thinks according to Ben Atubi it's going to count. You know why? Because when the kid counted the first 20 days of Svira, he was Chayav Midrabon, and that's Chinuch, and he's going to become Chayav Midaraisha, so he has everything going for him. So therefore the Mechas Chinuch says, according to Ben Atubi, it's nearly Loimar that the counting should count. That was the Michas Chinuch's contribution to the sugya. All the Achronim people back and forth, does it count, does it not count, for the Raisa, the Rabbanah, every factor under the sun is discussed, and the Michas Chinuch throws in this curveball into the cholent, that it's going to work because of Rabbeinu Tuvia. So I never understood this Michas Chinuch, because Michas Chinuch took Rabbeinu Tuvia, and he applied Rabbeinu Tuvia to Ketanim, and you can't do that, because if you do that, then the Bagan of Ram just passed the Rabbeinu Tuvia. The Rabbeinu Tuvia's sugya. No, the Magen Avram's kasha against the Rebbeinu Tuvia. The Magen Avram said, how can Rebbeinu Tuvia be right? If so, how could a katan ever, why can't a katan be Moitzia Gadol? So the Magen Avram said, Mikoyach, that kusha Rebbeinu Tuvia is wrong. So we answered, the only way to defend Rebbeinu Tuvia is to say that no, this is different, that a katan doesn't count. The katan is not part of the parsha, because the katan is not Mechuyiv and Chinuch at all, not even Midrabanan. That was the traditional answer to defend Rebbeinu Tuvia. So now comes the Mechas Chinuch and violates that rule. Because the Mechas Chinuch takes Rebbeinu Tuvia and plugs Rebbeinu Tuvia into Ketanim. How can you do that? If you think Rebbeinu Tuvia said it by Ketanim, then Rebbeinu Tuvia is wrong. Then Rebbeinu Tuvia is against the Mishnah. So I thought the Mechas Chinuch was incomprehensible. So for 20 years or so, I was convinced that the Mechas Chinuch was not correct. That he made a mistake, that he took the Rebbeinu Tuvia one step too far. Mechas Chinuch was 200 years after Magen Avraham. 300 years, 400 years after, many, many years later. So for years this was bothering me. I once presented this kasha at the Rav Oz Ben Shlit, the Rav Shivim Tells in Riverdale. I asked this kasha more than 20 years ago, more than 30 years ago. I asked him this kasha. I said, I don't understand the Mechas Chinuch's presentation of Rebbeinu Tuvia is correct, then the Rebbeinu Tuvia by definition is wrong. I guess because of the Magen Avraham. So the Rebbe said to me, good kasha. Good kasha, good kasha. It's a little bit good kasha. So the conversation ended. So most of my conversations I had with Rabbi Ozben Shlita were before I got married. I lived in Riverdale, so I used to hack him, catch him in the street, or catch him, in the Chabayev or something, by talking and learning. So I got married, so the conversations came to an end. So every once in a while, the conversations came back at Chesed Mason. I saw him at a chasen a few years ago, and I was sitting at his table. So I said to him, Rashiva, can I bother Rashiva? I want to continue a conversation we had 30 years ago about something. I have a ha'orat about something from 30 years ago. So he said to me, just catch me up a little bit, remind me where we're up to. So I told him, okay, good, let's continue the conversation. So every once in a while we finish our discussions. So this kasha, I owe him, after we finish kasha, I owe him this follow-up, because I was saying this over in Shir about, I don't know, 5 years ago or so Shir and Yeshiva. And one of my Tamidim, I don't remember who it was, one of Tamidim raised his hand and said, no, Rabbi, I have a different way to defend the Rebbeinu Tuvia from the Magen Avraham's Kasha. You don't have to fall back on the Rabban. I said, what? So Rebbeinu Tuvia meant that you're chayev now with the Rabbanan, and you're going to become chayev in this mitzvah, not next year's mitzvah of this mitzvah, in this mitzvah. What was Rebbeinu Tuvia talking about? He was talking about the guy is chayev in Shabbos Parshas Vayetzeh. Right now he's chayav b'drabon because he's b'kabbal Shabbos, and he's going to be chayav b'daraisa in 20 minutes from now, this year, this week's parsha, this week's Shabbos. Or in the case of the blind person, he's chayav b'drabon now, he may get his eyesight back in the next 10 minutes, the next 24 hours, on this Shabbos. So kol zman that you're chayav in a mitzvah b'drabon, and you have potential to be chayav in this mitzvah b'daraisa, that's called b'chayav b'davar. Masha ein kein, the katan, he's not going to turn by mitzvah now. He's going to turn by mitzvah next Rosh Hashanah, next Purim. What's that doing now? I'm this year, you're next year. So he said that's why Rebbeinu Tuvia wasn't bothered with the Magen Avraham's kasha. Not because Rebbeinu Tuvia held like the Ramban, because Rebbeinu Tuvia never said what the Magen Avraham thought he said. It's not potential to become chayv in mitzvahs later of this mitzvah in 3 years from now. This mitzvah, the way it plays out right now, b'shev sham yichayevin, that's what Beit HaTuvia said. I thought that was genius, what this Talmud said.
But in a case in which, again, the bar mitzvah,
Hang in for a second. So now, wait a second. So now the Mechassim makes a lot of sense. This kid is chayiv in Sefirot Rabbanim because he's chayiv in Chinuch, not like Ramban. He's going to be chayiv Mikra did in this Sefirot Oimer. What do you mean? This year, Sefirot Oimer. So you're going to ask Bekash, what do you mean this year? That's tomorrow night. What about tonight? This is all Bedasa Bahag. The whole Chum, the whole discussion of the Acharonim is how can you continue counting? Because the Bahag told you you have to count the entire Sefirah. So the whole Shtibot Torah is only according to the Bahag. That's one mitzvah primarily. So it's one, it's the same mitzvah. So becoming by mitzvah in the middle of this year's Sefirah is the halach equivalent of becoming, getting your eyesight back at the Shabbos, which is the halach equivalent of becoming Shabbos starting for you on Parshas Vayetzeh. So that's why the Mechaschin had no question. Wasn't even Nochas Lekach. Mechassinu didn't even dream in his wildest dreams. Rabbi Netuvia was part of the Ramban camp. The Mechassinu realized right away, like this Talmud, it took me 25 years to get to this Teretz. But this Talmud was Mechavin to, was obviously licked in the Mechassinu's mind. So Mechassinu wasn't even bothered with the Magen Avraham's Kasha. Mechavin wasn't even Nochas to the Kasha. Because Rabbi Netuvia never meant it. So the last 5 years, I've revamped my understanding of Rabbi Netuvia. Now we come back to I was bothered with Akasha. He's going to make Kiddush when he was not yet Chayav in a Torah. He's only Chayav in Mitzvahs Midrabanon. He was not Katan. So could his Kiddush Derabanon solve a problem? Could it create a Ptur for a Mitzvah Deraisa? So according to Rabbi Netuvia, what's the answer? Depends which version of Rabbi Netuvia you're going with. If you're going with 30 years ago Rabbi Netuvia, the answer is dead. No. Because a Katan, Rabbi Netuvia never said it by a Katan. So Katan is God. It's out of the picture. But according to the new vamped version of Rabbi Netuvia, namely the Mechaschidim's version, and this Talmud's version, which I still owe Rabbi Osben, the new version of Rabbi Netuvia, then the answer is this will work. Why? Because he was Chayim Midrabanan, and he's going to become Chayim Midrais and the Shabbos. He's going to become Bar Mitzvah. The Katan is no worse than the Summa. The Summa maybe will get his eyesight back. The Katan is for sure going to get his Gadlus. So, Lefianias Daiti, we can now, according to Rabbi Netuvia, you don't have to repeat Kiddush second time. You can be Yotze Kiddush with Deraisa at a time of Yechayim with Rabbanan, and everything's hunky-dory according to Rabbi Netuvia. I didn't say we passed on Rabbi Netuvia. I said Rabbi Netuvia was the Kiddush Gadol. The Rambam didn't hold that way. The other Rishonim didn't hold that way. The Rabbi Netuvia made up this new razzle-dazzle Shtibbol Torah of the Rabbanans with potential Deraisa. So what was Mishadish in the last couple of years or so was that according to the new version of Rabbi Netuvia, there's no need to have to make Kiddush second time. So I think Zevi's Bar Mitzvah maybe before this new fact. I don't remember what year exactly I revamped this.
But the Shaila is meaning with this new Kiddush, would a Katan who's on his actual Shabbos Bar Mitzvah, who let's say they make to a separate Shabbos, would he be able to be Moitzi other people?
So according to the Shtibbol Torah, yeah. According to the Shtibbol Torah, would be good. And I'll say something else that you can gain from this also. There's a famous discussion in the Poskim. There's one opinion in Rishayim that says that you become Bar Mitzvah from me'es le'es. We don't pass that way. We pass the Mikra, then you become Bar Mitzvah at the beginning of Teis Kechavim of that new day. But there's one opinion that says you become me'es le'es. So because of that, there are people who drive the kids nuts, and they wake them up at all hours of the night to say Kriya Shema over. Kids, let's say a kid was born at 2 o'clock in the morning, so it doesn't suffice to say Davin Meir at 10 o'clock. You make him get up again at 2:30 in the morning, say Kriya Shema a second time around. So that's why? Because he wasn't really chayiv the first time around. So according to Rabbi Netuvia, you wouldn't have to do that. Because according to Rabbi Netuvia, you were chayiv with your banan al tzchinuch, and you're going to become chayiv deraisa. So that's no worse than making Kiddush Mizman to Sefer Shabbos. So when my oldest son was Bar Mitzvah, so my Yaakov was born at, catch this one. He was born, if I remember already, at 5:50 on a Thursday morning. So when does he become Bar Mitzvah? So according to most posts, he becomes Bar Mitzvah Teis Kechavim. But according to the Machmirim, you only become Bar Mitzvah at 5:50. So is that to wait for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis? So catch this, 13 years later, Neitzachama, which is the absolute deadline for Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, Mikra Din, B'diyev, Yikvi Yotze, Tol Neitzachama, so Neitzachama was, moving out of the time, no, he was born at 5:45, I remember, he was born at 5:45 on a Thursday morning, And 13 years later, Netzach Hama was 553. So he had an 8-minute window to fulfill Kriya Shema Shel Arvis, according to the Machmir. So I woke him up at 5:45. I told him, Shoin Tzayin, you have to say Kriya Shema Deraisa. So he stood there. It was in Beit Meir. He stood there. It was 2 days before Tishrei of Zayin Av. Zayin Av was his birthday. At 5:47, whatever time it was, 5:47, he's in those years. I think we were still in the. I still think we were in the. It was before the Shabu house, even. I think it was in the caravans, if I'm not mistaken. So I think we were standing in the caravans at 5:47 in Beit Meir time. And he was wearing his shorts. And I told him to say Kriya Shema, say three parts of Kriya Shema, and then you can go back to sleep. So my only latest HaSofik, well, I had a lot of latest HaSofik about that, but the only latest HaSofik was is that the timing was off because he was born in America and this was Eretz Yisrael. So the Ace Liaces were off because when you follow the Ace Liaces, you follow the time of where you are now. So I asked Rabbi Shachter that Shaila that summer. He thought, no, he said you should still follow where you are now. So he thought that if you say Kriya Shema before 5:53, he thought that was good enough. So according to Ben Atubia, you wouldn't have to do that. So I owe Meachem a few hours of sleep, according to Ben Atubia. But he's already 24th. That was 11 years ago. I was still in that window before I knew the new pshat of Ben Atubia. So I was going with the old style Ben Atubia. Anyway, so this is Ben Atubia. This Kiddush story can impact on your life in many, many different ways. Okay, back to the real world now. So back to the Kiddush stuff. So this is all Minat Torah then. Minat Torah could be Yetzi Kiddush B'dvarim, but B'd the Rabbanim, Chazal HaMisakein, that you require Kiddush Alayayin. Again, one opinion of Rishayim says that the Torah itself instituted that, but Rubidubid Rishayim and all later places can assume Kiddush Alayayin is only Rabban. But for Maisi Nidin, it's got to be Alayayin. So what constitutes Yayin for the purposes of this mitzvah? What has to be met? What criteria of wine has to be met? So the Gemara says in Maseches Bava Basra, it's funny that a lot of the dinim of Yayin for Kiddush appear in the sixth pech of Bava Basra because the Gemara's talk about Mecha Peiris, the whole sugi about selling wine. So some of the Gemara snuck in there all the dinim of Kiddush al Yayin. So the Gemara says that Seichin Adam Eshkol Shel Anavim Emel of Kiddush al Yayin. You could just take a bunch of grapes and squeeze them out, not on Shabbos, that's Malacha. You can squeeze them out on Friday afternoon and make yourself a cup of grapes because I'm sure you can make a Kiddush. So it's clear from the Gemara that in order to qualify as wine, it need not be alcoholic. Wine does not ferment in an hour. So it's clear from the Gemara that that's okay. You can make Kiddush on halachli wine. Grape juice is also considered to be wine for these purposes. There was a big machlekes in the Kedali HaPaiskim, later Paiskim, about is this true for all dinim of Yayin? Or is this only, maybe this is unique for Kiddush, maybe the other dinim of Yayin, the Taka, do require fermentation, do require alcoholic. So that was a big, big machlekes between Ramosha and the Rav when it came to Dalakosis. That Ramosha writes in his famous Tshuva that Sechet Adam Eshkol Shel Anava means that it's called wine. It's wine, Lecholdavar, but on Pesach night, it's not enough to have wine. You have to have Derech Cheres also. So you need that second characteristic, that second component of Derech Cheres. So a cup of grape juice is wine, but it's not Derech Cheres to wine, and therefore you can't really be Yaitse Derech Cheres on with grape juice. And the Rav disagreed. The Rav said, no, that Ramosh is right, that on Pesach night you need Derech Cheres also, that's true. But Derech Cheres is not objectively anointed with alcohol. Derech Cheres means the Rav of Lush is Shtia Reva, whatever people like. If you enjoy this beverage, so that's considered to be Shtia Reva. So it has to be halachli wine. The Takana was a case of Yayin. So halachli it's called wine because it's grape juice. It's like wine, like for Kiddush. And the Shtia Reva, I like grape juice. I don't like wine too much. It's even lechatchila with grape juice. There were different opinions in the Gedalia Paiskim. Again, everyone agreeing that for Kiddush, ultimately it's good. There were some who wanted to argue that maybe our grape juice is worse than the grape juice of Chazal, because our grape juice can never become wine, because they treat it chemically in a way that's not going to ferment. I mean, even our grape juice eventually, if enough time, it's going to spoil before it turns into wine, eventually it'll turn into wine, into spoiled wine. But some wanted to argue that maybe our grape juice is worse than the grape juice of Chazal, and most of the Poskim didn't accept that chiluk. Mecha Teis is such a distinction. So we assume that our grape juice is acceptable for Kiddush. Is there any reason with Achila to make Kiddush on wine proper rather than grape juice? So there is a Sefer Achinuch. So Achinuch writes that why is it that Chazal instituted Kiddush al Yayin Dafka? So Sefer Achinuch writes because wine is the Eira person. It gives a person a little bit of a kick, a little bit of a lifting up. So the Sefer Achinuch writes, this is part of the general theory as about mitzvahs in general, that Achwea Pu'ulas Yirush Kol Avavas. Sefer Achinuch writes this many, many times over, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us certain mice and mitzvahs to do, to internalize certain conceptual truths. So let's say, for example, it comes Pesach night. So in theory, what do you have to eat matzah for? I should just sit around and philosophize and think about Yetzias Mitzrayim. Okay. What do I have to eat in the sukkah for? I should sit around and sit in my house, sit in my living room, and think about Emunah Yaakovin. So the Kodesh Baruch Hu created our psyche, so he knows it doesn't work that way. So Kodesh Baruch Hu created us in a way that when we do certain ma'asim, so the more we do it, the more we do it, the more we internalize the messages behind those ma'asim. So the Sefer Chinuch writes that, in theory, Friday night, we could just sit around and think about Ma'aseh Breishis. So Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted us to say the words of Ma'aseh Breishis. And Chazal realized that if we say over a cup of wine, wine is a samach levenish, it's ma'ira people, it gives them, that's this iris, that excitement, that kishmak. So that kishmak of wine will deeper internalize the message of the significance of what Shabbos is all about.
Sugar rushes don't count.
What? Sugar rushes. Okay, so if Chazal would have been around during the days of sugar rushes, maybe there would have been misakin on an energy drink, maybe of a good cup of high caffeine coffee. But whatever it is, Chazal would misakin, yeah.
I'm a little bit confused. Why is it that being drunk makes
Who said drunk? I said drunk.
Whatever it is. What is
I said that wine gives you a little bit of a kick. Gives you a little,
why does that lead you to?
Because that gives you a little bit more his iris. That's what the
that
it means you have a cup of orange juice, you have orange juice, a lot of sugar. And you take a cup of milk, say half asleep and you drink a cup of milk. Or you drink a cup of wine, so it gives you a little bit of a kick. So it's that kick, that little bit of his iris, that's what the halacha wants of us. That's what the Sefer Chinuch. Sefer Chinuch says that explains why, according to most Rishonim, let's say you want to make you're hungry, you don't want to have wine, you want to have a piece of challah. So as a machlokes of Rishonim, can you make kiddush on challah on Friday night? So we pass get mikra, then yeah, but we try lechachila not to, because some Rishonim said not to. So said Rebbe Chinuch, how can you understand? Why is it, if the guy's hungry, why can he make kiddush on, why can he make kiddush on challah, according to most Rishonim? So said Rebbe Chinuch says, because if he's hungry, he's going to get more of his service from the challah than he's going to get from the wine. So we understand why Chazal gave you that option of making either kiddush or challah, depending on what you want more. And then the Sefer Chinuch says, that explains why you can't make Abdullah on Challah. Abdullah has to be Dafman. Why not on Challah? Why is that? So he has a fascinating psychological, nutritional insight. He says that on Friday night, so you're hungry. What did you eat for Friday? Even you got a slice of pizza at 12 o'clock in the afternoon. You got some ice cream in Ben Yehuda early in the day. You're hungry by the time you sit down to the meal. So you get a service from your piece of Challah. Shabbos. Who in the world wants that visa challah Matzah Shabbos? The guy finished Shal Shuddis. He had Shul 2 hours ago. He stuffed to the gills. He because he's going to have a lot of Malka at 11:35. So right now, for him to take a piece of challah, there's going to be no service whatsoever. So to get the service in Abdullah, at least prayer. Abdullah's service has to have wine. So some have the practice to make Kiddush on Friday night on wine, definitely because of the Sefer Chinuch. Some like to make Kiddush on, some like to make Abdullah on wine, also for that reason, and others don't. So I personally don't make Abdullah on wine with the Shams. I follow Rabbi Willard's practice, because for a few technical reasons. And on Friday night, I'm not planning on driving anywhere Friday night. So if Och and Vey have to drive on Friday night, it's going to be Koch Nefesh, I'm going to call an ambulance, Chalila. But Matzah Shabbos, even though I think I have this grandiose plan that I'm about Hashem, I'm planning on staying home, I'm going to learn tonight, it's a long Friday night, I'll be able, by the time I get into my car tomorrow morning, my blood alcohol content will be long gone. So that's what I think. Until my wife tells me, I got to go to the store, I got to go this, I got to go right here, I forgot to pick up that. So you never know, Matzah Shabbos, you never know when you're going to be in a car. So therefore, it's probably a good idea, and it's a toiva not to make Abdullah and wine. But those who want to make Abdullah and wine, just be careful that they don't drink, and they don't drive after they drink, or whatever they check their blood alcohol contents, whatever the numbers are supposed to be.
Sometimes you're calling it 5% wine.
Yeah, yeah, I'm not arguing. I have a low plug on drinking and driving. The low plug is if I drank anything in the last X amount of hours, one of those X's, that's on Yom Tov Cholamoid. So I'm always careful of Cholamoid. I try to be mindful to have a cup of wine on Cholamoid. So I'll always time a cup of wine around the time when I absolutely know for certain that I'm not going anywhere. So some of Machmet have a cup of wine both at night and in the daytime. That's already a Shaila. So my cup of wine, Cholamoid, I always take right before I go to sleep. I'm sitting in the sukkah, or it's ready to Pesach. I'm ready to go to sleep, so that's when I have my cup of wine. Now, I don't have to make a cheshbon. I don't have to go dig up my driver's ed books to figure out whether what my blood alcohol count is not holding in that. So that way, lays a light plug.
What's the light plug? 24 hours?
24 hours, I wouldn't say. No.
What's the?
I don't have a 24-hour low plug. It's crazy. Otherwise, I can't drive anywhere.
What was that?
I'm just saying that I won't get into a car and drive until a few hours after I have a couple of hours. Again, that's nothing. This is not a halacha. This is because I don't want to have to make a cheshbon. I don't want to explain to a cop that I had a shtickle tire, that I had a less than revius, that it's a techni and a spras. I don't want to get involved in that. So you can decide for yourself. not to say check with the rule, whatever the law is, whatever the rules are. There's a certain amount of wine you're allowed to drink without trying. Okay, back to our story. So the bottom line is, whatever you think the wine is, so you make kiddush in the grape juice and wine, whatever you feel appropriate to do. So are there any halachas that govern what the wine is? So, yeah, the Gemara says there is a halacha. The Gemara of the Basra says that kol yayin roy lenas chagabi mizbeach mekashin alav. In order to make kiddush on wine, it has to be a type of wine that's roy lenas chagabi mizbeach. So we know that one of the karbonos that are brought, karbon niska yayin, yeah, we're all whole perek of menachas to figure out what kind of wine is kosher or not. So the Gemara says that's the problem. Kol has to be roy lenas chagabi mizbeach. So there was a big machlekes in Rishonim. What do those words mean? Roy lenas chagabi mizbeach. So some Rishonim took those words absolutely literally. That means you got to learn Maseches Menachos, go sit and brisk for a few years, figure out what yayin is kosher. Once you decide what yayin is kosher, then you can use it for kiddush. And other Rishonim say, that's not what it means. What is a kiddush? It's nice for a drasha, but what does that have to do with the halacha? So other Rishonim say what it means is as follows. If the wine is already like getting ruined, if there's something wrong with the wine, there's some kind of a pagam in the wine that would disqualify it from the mizbeach because it's a lower quality wine. So once it's reached that point of low inferior quality wine, that wine shouldn't be used for kiddush. But let's say it can't be used for the mizbeach for pure technical reasons. There's absolutely nothing wrong with this wine. The wine is the highest quality. It could sell you $300 a bottle of this wine. But there's a quirk that it's possible to be a mizbeach. So that, there's no problem. There's no psul whatsoever of using that for kiddush wine. So it's not a chaytul yavor that disqualified wine is disqualified for kiddush. It just means if it's a low quality wine, that's a problem. So my nafkaminim, so the Rishonim quote, the Ram quotes a big machlaik, it's about the following. Let's say you take a cup of wine and you put some fruit juice derivative into that wine. So that automatically disqualifies the Gabi HaMizbeach because there's a din of that kichos se'or b'chot vash se'tum en ilo yishol Hashem. You're not allowed to use to bring any vash. Vash just means an example of, it's a shiloh, but it also means honey of bee honey, but for sure it means fruit honey. If you take fruit honey and you want to put that on the Mizbeach, that's an isadir ha'isa. So you're not allowed to mix any kind of a fruit derivative, any juice, into wine and pour it on the Mizbeach. So the Rambam quotes, there was some Rishonim who said, therefore, you can't use any such wine for Kiddush. And other Rishonim say, why not? It tastes delicious. It's yummy. It's phenomenal. $100 a bottle. Why can't you use it? The fact that it has peiros in it, it's a machlek of Rishonim. The Rambam quotes two opinions about this, whether you could use such wine or not.
Rambam quotes both opinions?
The Rambam quotes some who disagreed, and then the Rambam...
Because he doesn't usually bring machloksim in the Mishnah Torah. The Beis Yosef will call it salt.
Sometimes he does. Where, you have a Beis Yosef here?
Yeah, it's...
quotes the Rambam, right?
The Rosh Bah, the Rambam, and the Ritva,
the quotes the Rambam quotes the Gaoni Meir or something. Who's he quote? He quotes...
The Rambam is like the opinion of the Gaoni
Meir. Yeah, well, that's the exact quote. He quotes both opinions, no?
The Rambam here, no? It says the Magen Mishnah quotes...
The Rambam sometimes quotes opinions that disagree with him.
It's in the Mishnah Torah proper.
Yeah. All the time. He quotes Yesh Ben Gaonim said this and I disagree. Some of my rabbis said this and I disagree. He does it all the time. So let's see if we can find it. The Rambam Perchav Teslach Yudalin. Eim Akash Aliyah Ron Esach HaMizbeach HaFikach Im Nisarbo Dvash O Seor Afilu Ketipas Acharet Lo Bechav Eim Akash Alav Kach Anu Morin Bechol HaMayrav. So it's about we who live in the West. We say like this. V'yeish B'shamat L'Kadosh Alav V'eim Elo Nemar HaYayin Aron L'Nasach HaMizbeach Al Hotzi Yayin Shereichel Ra O Megula Mevusha Shem Akash Alech Mehen. So the Rambam writes Yesh B'shamat here. He quotes somebody who says that it's okay. He doesn't know who that is, but he quotes somebody. Says, the rabbi says he thinks that's the emes. So we problem tasking like that. La lofa, that many people make kiddush on wines that have all kind of stuff in them. Any wine that has sugar in it, by definition, is that sugar is considered like a masikas apri. So sugar is from the sugar cane. So that's considered to be you wouldn't be able to put sugary wine onto the mizbeach. So anyone who makes kiddush in anything which has any sugar in it, by definition, is relying on the mekilah. So we'll see that we basically rely on the Mekilah Magabi, a different halacha. There's a whole other question, it's a related question, about Yayin Mevushal. If you have a wine that was cooked, pasteurized, cooked, whatever you think Mevushal means, can such wine be used for Kiddush? So that's also going to be part of the story, because Yayin Mevushal can't be brought to the Mizbeach, but it may still becomes the kiddush. So from that, Shem remind us on Sunday. We'll try to pick up this point. So what's that timing on Sunday? What do we decide?
11:12
on Sunday. Also, okay.